Okay, listen up. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's got to be strong, and he's got to be fast, and he's got to be fresh from the fight. Anybody? Footloose, Bonnie Tyler song, Kevin Bacon drives a tractor in a game of chicken? Nothing? Wow. How about the remake? Anybody seen the remake? All right, I need someone to throw himself down the tube and knock some kids loose. Anybody? Any volunteers?
I'll do it.
Great. Come on up here. The rest of you, you're all dead to me.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red String Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host and friend, also the most likely person to work at a water park during the summer, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
That's actually the, that was my personal headcanon bet for what you were going to say for this one.
Yep. I just remembered it today. I'm like, wait, he was a lifeguard. I got him.
Yeah, I unequivocally cannot deny most likely to work in a water park.
There we go. And also joining us, we have a special guest. We have friend of the podcast. We mentioned him a few times to me and Perk. This is Chris Paskowski. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. For those of you wondering, I am known as a girlfriend guy. I think that was brought up a little bit earlier, but I also thought I'd maybe get the introduction of guy who is most likely to sleep at a water park. But it's good to be here. It feels really good. So thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. And you know, on your first appearance, I got to just say special guest, but if you come back, then I'll think of something for you. Or I'll try to anyway.
Honestly, any introduction for me is good as long as you don't say my last name because it's just always botched. So,
well, I said it, and I said it right because I've been your friend for too long now. Too many.
I think it's Pat Oblowski, right?
Yeah, it's something like that. Just
whenever my phone, whenever my phone says it, they say calling Chris Pajowski. I'm like, where are you getting a J sound in there? There's not a J.
This has been the struggle of my life since day one. So bring it on, world.
Well, welcome back to the Red String Movie Podcast, everyone. This is the podcast where every week we watch a movie and talk about it that was connected to the last one we watched one way or another. It could be the same actor, a same director, same composer, but we're talking about movies. You can find our show every Friday morning on podcast services, and if you like it, tell your friends and share it. We're very slowly getting our numbers up. We're up to about like 5 or 6 or 7 downloads a week, and I'm liking it. We're doing zero promotion, and we're getting a little bit of growth, so I'm a fan of that.
Grassroots, let's go.
Yeah, but this week we're talking about The Way, Way Back. Perk, give us that hot intro.
All right, so The Way, Way Back is a 2013 joint directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash. It is a coming-of-age, summer-on-the-coast story about a teenage boy and shenanigans. A couple fun facts for you. The co-directors are both actors in the movie as well. They play Lewis and the creepy guy from the top of the water slide.
Mm-hmm. Rodney, yep.
Yep. And then also one of the directors, Nat Faxon, is a lead star in one of my bonus reviews this week.
Oh, a little foreshadowing there. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to our special guest first. Chris, what did you think of The Way, Way Back?
You know, watching it, I actually thought it was a pretty good movie. You know, there are some parts, especially seeing it at the very beginning and kind of looking at the title screen, it was really cool to see the actor from Percy Jackson make such a way into this movie. It was cool to see him in that role.
Chris, it's not him.
Oh, absolutely no, it's not him.
But you know who it is, Chris. I'm surprised. Do you recognize that kid? The main kid? You should. You very much should.
But who is it, just for my recollection?
Young Sean in Psych in all the flashbacks.
Shut up. It is not.
That is him.
So this show, this movie immediately just got a million times better because young Sean is in this, and I did not know that. I was kind of scared when you started with the young sh because I thought you were going to say Sheldon, and that would have immediately given this show a zero for me. But yeah, overall, I really liked the movie. It had some interesting takes within it, especially with my boy Steve Carell coming in, being the boyfriend. I didn't really feel the whole him playing a douchebag kind of role. It was different.
Like, you didn't like that for Steve Carell, or you didn't like him, this role in the movie?
No, Steve Carell did a great job. Not going to lie. He did awesome. It's just weird to see him in that spotlight of, like, wow, you're really a dick. Because he never, ever, ever plays that guy. He's always kind of the
sure
really funny guy who gets picked on more so, rather than being like, what's up, buddy, and just makes fun of the, what, 16-year-old boy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, starting off being like, hey, I think you're a three. Wow, what a confidence shot at this dude.
You know, he's competing. You know, he wants the mom. He doesn't want the kid. So he's trying to make the kid feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, he wants a few moms by my understanding. But
oh, we'll get into that. But before we do, Perk, what did you think of this movie?
I really don't like this movie.
Really? Why yeah is
that? A plethora of reasons. Just, like, there's so little about this movie that does anything for me, which is surprising because you'd think I'd even be able to relate because of the water park storyline. But I can go in a little more depth later. Jacob, care to give thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. there are a couple of things that didn't age well. I mean, you mentioned that Roddy being creepy. Thankfully, it's only like one scene, really, and that doesn't really come back. So, yeah, that's good. But overall, I think this movie did a great job of capturing cringe and how fucking awkward it is to be a kid at that age. I think it did a really good job of just that, the whole point in your life, and you just like hate hanging out with your parents and you just don't know who you are and you're trying to figure your kind of your way in the world. I really liked it. I related to a lot of those feelings. Sam Rockwell, fucking love him so much. He is just always just hilarious and just absolutely nails all those just like ridiculous monologues he goes on. So funny. And then I like the supporting cast too, specifically Allison Janney playing like the drunk neighbor. I thought she was fantastic. And I thought Steve Carell did a great job playing. He's just such a fucking dad in this movie. Like, the whole Candyland scene is just such just dad shit, you know? And I think he did a good job playing the douchebag. So, overall, I think, yeah, there's a couple things that don't age well, but I really liked this movie and thought it did a good job of capturing that awkward feeling of being a kid. But, yeah, let's get into some more detail. I'm going to go back to you, Perk, because I'm curious on what about this movie that you didn't like.
Sure. So I'll guess I'll start off with what I did like, because I agree with you. Sam Rockwell is fantastic as Owen. I think every scene he's in is great. I think his presence, his character is really well written. Everything like to do with him, I like a lot. And whenever he's off the screen, it's a problem, because the for me, the performances out of, like, Sam Rockwell is the best performance by a country mile. Mm-hmm. I think Steve Carell is fine. I think Toni Collette is good. Allison Janney is fine. Not really that they're bad, like, bad performances, but their characters are, like, flat Stanley. Like, sure. Steve Carell is mean guy who is mean, and it is established in the first shot of the movie that he is a mean guy who is mean, and he doesn't have an arc at all. He just continues to be mean guy who's mean for the whole movie. And Allison Janney is like drunk but caring mom next door, and she's got.
She's mostly comic relief, I would say.
Right, which yeah. Like, and Allison Janney's like the all-time supporting actress, so can't really slight her for that. But just none of the characters are interesting outside of Sam Rockwell, and like the King issue for me is I think that the lead actor does a really bad job. I thought he was terrible outside of like a couple scenes toward the end. It's just, it's annoying. It's boring. It's the monotone teenager shit that it's old. There's no emotion in it. I get that, you know, teenagers aren't supposed to be emotive, but it's just boring watching him on screen just stand there hunchbacked, whispering.
Sure.
Can't do it.
Just to reply to that before I hit up you, Chris, I totally hear where you're coming from, but also, like, I don't mind it because we all met that kid in middle school. You know what I mean? Like, that, I think it's, while it's might not, it's always the most interesting to watch, I think it is pretty realistic. And I'm not saying that makes it a better movie or not, but I think it, you know, the purpose of his character is, or like the essence of his character, he just really does have no idea who the fuck he is. And that expresses itself in him, like, not really being able to talk to people. One thing I liked about this movie is that it's not like a typical kind of thing where things happen to him. He does, like, he's the one who goes and talks to Sam Rockwell when he's playing Pac-Man. He does go to the water park on his own. Like, it's not like Sam Rockwell just, like, finds him and picks him up on the street. You know what I mean? So he does, like, take some initiative in the movie, which I appreciate. But I hear what you're saying. He's not always the most fun to watch. Chris, what's your take on the lead and issues of the movie?
So I'm honestly very indifferent about it because I agree with Perk to the point of the main actor, young Sean. his role is rather boring. You know, he definitely plays into that introverted part a little too well. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are people who kind of want to be in their own space, and I know they're going through stuff like, you know, mom is seeing a new boyfriend, things like that, so it'd be awkward, probably not wanting to go on this big trip. But it's like, the dude brings very little until, like, he finally finds a personality there at the end, which I think is, like, kind of a big part of the movie, which is cool. But I think it very much lacks with his main character for a while, until later on. And going with Sam Rockwell, I mean, yeah, I totally agree with that. The dude makes the movie big time. He definitely has all those good one-liners in that movie. You know, can't really complain a lot with his character. He just makes it fun. He's definitely out there. You know, he's probably the biggest reason that kept my attention. And then, yeah, the parts when he's not in there, I'm like, man, is Sam Rockwell coming back? So... and then I guess just piggybacking off of who played Betty? What's her
Betty.
Name?
Which one?
Betty's Betty. The mom, Betty the drunk, was... the drunk mom.
Oh, Allison Janney. Allison Janney.
Yeah, her. Does she not play the same role in every single thing that she does? Being like a
yes
bad
no.
mom.
She plays the. She is in Mom. She plays that character in Mom.
You're thinking of the show Mom.
Okay, realistically, that's probably the only thing that I could think of her in. But she plays that exact same role, so I'm like, oh, it's her again. So that was kind of like my thought with her. I was like, yeah, I guess she's there for that comedic relief. But, you know, I was like, she just basically goes in there to make fun of her kid with the eye problem.
Which, by the way, shout out to Peter. He was fucking funny as hell in this movie.
He was pretty good. That was a funny, funny side character plot for sure.
Take me with you or I scream.
In case I was misconstrued earlier, I like, regardless of the character not being very interesting, I think that the performance was bad out of the lead character.
Sure. Okay. That's, what do you think of the scene though, where he screams at Steve Carell and his mom?
I think that's
solid. That was solid.
I think that it's, yeah, he's good in that scene for sure. That's why I said up until the end.
Okay.
He's just
a little bit too awkward.
Can't do it. Yeah.
I understand that. I understand
just,
that. Sure.
He looks like he's playing like his character motivation that he was given was just one line of like angsty teen, like play angsty teen. There's no nuance. It's just
right.
Not a great performance for me.
That's fair. And like I said, something that really solidified that I know this kid is just taking everything literally in the beginning. Like, God, I met that kid before. And it's so annoying. But I also want to briefly touch on, like Perk said before, there's not a lot of other characters that have arcs in this movie. But I do like the kind of mini arc that Sam Rockwell has. And it's a lot of it is just subtext, which this movie has a lot of subtext, whether that's for better or worse. But I liked his little kind of arc with Mayor Rudolph, and we don't really get to see a lot, but I don't think we really need to, because it's not, I mean, the movie's about Duncan. It's not really about anyone else.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, once again, just Sam Rockwell's character is the best part of this movie, because you're right, he does develop, and like, a couple of the characters do have arcs. Like, Duncan has an arc of one of those annoying arcs for me, where it's like, you just need to branch out. Like, you just need to open up. That'll fix it. Which, sometimes isn't reality. Sometimes people just are tired. Introversion exists, you know? So.
Sure, but he also didn't seem to have, like, any interests at all, at least not that we saw in the movie.
Yeah, which, I mean, yeah, not interested in anything is a tough place to base a character around, so mm-hmm. I can see that being kind of tough.
Well, and talking more about the subtext, I think they maybe relied too much on the child of divorced parents being, like, a big motivator for his current, like, emotional state. Which, like, we know that is an issue. We don't really – he doesn't directly talk about it too much because, talk about, like, he wants to go see his dad. But him and Aunt Sophia Robb kind of have that, you know, connection point, which they bond over. But I think they maybe could have done with a little bit more of just directly saying how the divorce affected him or something like that. But, yeah, like I said, a lot of subtext in this movie. The other point I want to mention was I liked – you know, near the beginning when Joan and Kip are first visiting them and they're like dancing, Joan is like dancing with Toni Collette and Duncan, and it's like really awkward to watch. And Steve Carell like shuts it down. You know, when you first watch that scene, you think it's because he, I don't know, doesn't want to see Duncan doing that shit. But now once you find out that him and Joan had like a thing, I think it's more he doesn't want to see her like mingling with the mom and Duncan. So anyway, that was kind of interesting thinking about that. And once we learned the context,
did anyone else see that coming from a mile away? By the way,
yep. And but, a lot of things in this movie are just not super hard to predict. Pretty straightforward.
No, but I don't know if it needs to be like, I don't know. Like for me, like I'm just there to watch Duncan and Sam Rockwell interact, and there are things happening around that are, you know, affecting his situation, but I don't really care if it's predictable because there are like more or less realistic scenarios, you know? So just because like it's predictable doesn't mean it's bad, but I hear what you're saying. It maybe makes it a less interesting watch of a movie.
Right. But like if it's predictable enough, doesn't feel that realistic. Like if you know everything that's going to happen, it's not a movie based on someone's experience. Although I think it is, some of it's based on a conversation that the director had with his dad. But, like, if all the story beats are predictable, it's based on what people think the teenage experience is. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Kind of cookie cutter.
That's fair.
Although, obviously, like, the story follows different beats than, like, your traditional, like, coming of age, like we got to go to prom, all that. Like
right,
it's
right.
Definitely in a different vein, but if you can see everything coming, I don't know if it's a story that needs telling.
That's fair. I guess with that context, more of a vehicle just to watch Sam Rockwell just pop off.
Yeah, no, I mean,
but you get like an also heartwarming like, side dish.
Since this is like the first movie we've really disagreed upon, like, don't let me bully you out of your opinion. That's the beauty of
no,
the
no,
opinion.
No, I'm still enjoy this movie. That's the thing. Like,
good.
Even if it's predictable, it's still an enjoyable watch. It's like a comfort food kind of thing. Like, yeah, like just watching the trailer, you can predict everything that happens in this movie. You can't predict what's going to come out of Sam Rockwell's mouth. You know, mm-hmm. like the part where they need to bring up a guy to come dislodge the kids, and he just recites "I need a hero" and just gets nothing. Love that shit.
Well, that's kind of the shit that we would pull.
Dude,
and then
I know.
No one would react to it, and then we're like, all right, cool, time to move on.
I wanted to give a shout out because I don't know, this is kind of a weird thing, because the connection for this movie was the composer from last movie, and there's not a lot of a score in this movie. It's more of a soundtrack of just like licensed tracks, but I actually liked a lot of the tracks they chose. I think they were, you know, fit well, and I enjoyed him in the movie.
I didn't really notice the score, which, like, in some cases like this one, I think can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, in the last movie we watched, Our Friend, when I did notice the score, it was for a bad reason.
Right, right. More distracting.
Yeah, and, like, you know, last week I saw Belfast, and I noticed the score, and even though Van Morrison sucks, like, I noticed it for a good reason. So, like, they're not noticing the score is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, right. In this case, I'd say it's probably fine.
Yeah, no, I feel like 9 times out of 10, you want to not notice it. And if you do notice it, you hope it's for good. Because if it's for bad, it's really taken away from the movie.
Well, I wouldn't say that's necessarily true either. Because, I mean, like, obviously, I think a lot of those scores can definitely play into the emotion or how you're feeling about what's going on in the show. And, like, and that could be whether a good or a bad thing. Like, obviously, you go to movies like Our Friend and, like, you feel the emotion probably with that added benefit of, you know, the score in it. Whereas, like, look at shows like American Pie where, like, no one really cares about the score, but everyone, like, knows that entire thing just because of how iconic it is.
No, sure. I think we're mostly talking about if the score doesn't fit the emotion of the scene. That was our issue last week, where it's like, it seemed like a sad scene, but it had happy music, and it's like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? You get kind of, like, taken out of it, confused.
Yeah, there's one scene most of the way through Our Friend where it's like a woman degrading to cancer, and it's like part of a montage, so it's just like happy Spanish guitar music in the background, which just feels weird, like, and you notice it in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Chris, anything else you want to touch on from this movie?
Well, let's see. First off, Susanna, Race to Witch Mountain Girl, Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah.
Bridge to Terabithia, man. I watched that movie so much as a kid.
Let me just say, I would take that bridge to Terabithia because she is an absolute beauty. And
talking about now, right?
Like, well, yes, she was. Now. I looked it up. Definitely she was 20 when she filmed this movie.
She was 20 in this movie,
and she does not look it. She looks younger than she did in, like, Bridge to Terabithia.
She definitely looked quite a bit older than the main character, but I thought maybe like a year or two. So,
well, he's supposed to be 14 in this.
Okay,
which is, you know, pretty young. But yeah, she was 20 when she filmed this movie, which is very surprising.
No, I was gonna say
weird. How old was the male actor? Because
I'll look it up while Chris talks. Go ahead.
Sure.
Chris.
I liked her. You know, she was good. She was a good piece of it. What I thought was, you know, it was a very interesting adult to child friendship, you know, with Sam Rockwell and the main actor. At times where I was like, yeah, this is totally nice. And I'm like, you know, it seemed like less of a mentorship than, and more of just like way too close. And did anyone else feel really cringy at the end when, like, he goes and runs to the water park when they're all about to leave? And then Steve Carell tries to, like, interrupt and go in there. And then Sam Rockwell, like, steps in front of him, like, he's this big dude, and he's like, whoa, back up there. And I'm like, I feel like that's not really your place, but, like, also I can see why it happened. It just felt really weird, and, like, why is Sam Rockwell's character just kind of interfering and stepping in front of Steve Carell in that moment? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because I agree with you that I think it's just probably just the context that's been built out of Hollywood and how everyone in Hollywood is like a toucher. So it, when you see a relationship, like a strong bond between a 14-year-old and like a washed dude in his like 40s,
30s or 40s. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely struck me as like, it's just, it feels kind of weird, but I know what kind of movie I'm watching. So I know it's like, they're not going to go into that, but
yeah, I personally didn't have any problem. By the way, he was 17 when they filmed this.
Okay.
I didn't have any problem with it. And mostly, I mean, they didn't really, like, physically touch that much besides, like, arm over shoulder stuff. So, like, there was never any, like, I never had any thoughts like this is going to be weird or a problem. And then with regards to the ending, I do think him getting out of the car and running was a little bit of a, because they had to get back there at some point. I don't think that was the most elegant way to do it. But once they were there, I didn't mind him stepping in, just because he wasn't like, I'm trying to fight you. He just literally just like walked, like just stepped in in front of him just like became an obstacle. Because he, I mean, at that point he knew that Trent was a piece of shit. And I think, you know, the subtext again, this movie is that I think the reason he kind of helped out Duncan is because he kind of saw himself in Duncan when he was younger. You know, that's kind of implied. So yeah, I didn't have a huge problem with it because yeah, they were never going to like actually fight. You know, he was just like, I'm going to be an obstacle and make things a little bit harder for you so you can, you know, leave this kid alone.
Sure. I also got like very old 2000s vibes, especially when he's like teaching Duncan how to be quote unquote cooler and everything, like especially at the top of the water slide when he's like telling the chick to wait to like check her out.
Yeah, that's like, that scene, that scene does not age well at all.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I feel like this would probably be canceled or something at some point, but it, I was like, really, this is 2000, was it 2013?
13,
yeah. Yeah, I was like, even, I feel like that's even a bit late for them to be like, hey, this is how you check out some girls, and like, we're just gonna make them wait so you can stare at that booty. I was like, yeah, there okay, was, that was interesting.
There was two scenes in this movie that it became very, very, very clear this movie was written by men. That scene and also the scene, the very beginning when they go to the beach where he follows his Trent's daughter to the beach and her and all of her friends are just there talking. Some of the worst fucking dialogue. Just like, what do we think teenage girls sound like?
Right?
I'm with you on that. Like, it was so fucking bad. It's like, can we get a woman in the goddamn writer's room? Like, Jesus Christ.
And that makes me think about what Perk brought up earlier of how, like, you know, some characters literally just play the bare minimum to that role. Like, Steve Carell's daughter playing the popular chick. Like, oh my gosh, could you play more into that of just, like, being the most dull, popular person ever? Yeah. Being like, yeah, she was, hey, girls, let's leave this pale kid and let's go hang out with my hot jock boyfriend who has one line in the whole movie.
Like, whose name is Chad.
Is it Chad?
His name is Chad.
The only thing that would make it worse if it was, like, Chet. And then I'd have a big problem with it. But, of course, it's Chad. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, yeah, those are my things.
We need more women in writer's rooms because this shit always fucking happens. And it's
it
just,
was horrible.
You know, just the worst, but... Yeah, overall, I really enjoyed this movie. I would recommend it as a fun, feel-good movie. Chris, would you recommend this film?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's definitely for everybody. I think if it's kind of like, hey, I have nothing else going on and this is on, I'd say go for it, watch it. It has some entertaining pieces to it, and it's definitely a movie with a lot of actors and actresses that you'd probably recognize. So for that piece of it, sure, go for it. I don't know. My rating would be somewhere probably in the middle of it, though. Nothing too high, but nothing too low.
Sure. Perk?
I probably would not recommend this one. I'd probably recommend a slew of other coming-of-age movies that do it a little better.
Just YouTube the Sam Rockwell scenes.
Yeah, just if we can get a supercut of all of Sam Rockwell's scenes in the movie, context will be missing, but he's fantastic, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Recommendations based on this movie, I got two for you guys.
Let's hear it.
Ooh.
First one's pretty easy. Is Adventureland. If either of you have seen this one, Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart, very similar kind of vibe. Guy ends up working at a theme park that's just similar to the water park in here, kind of run down, you know, becomes friends with the weird people who work there. It's a movie, like, I watched it and enjoyed it, but I remember pretty much nothing about it. So if you just want a very similar vibe, it's got funny act like Bill Hader and what's her name?
Isn't like Ryan Reynolds in that or something?
Ryan Reynolds is in it. I'm blanking on
Count Me In.
SNL lady. She just played Cheetah in Wonder Woman 2.
Oh, Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. I'm like, it's Kristen somebody. Sorry that was the reference I pulled. But yeah, Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader are really funny in it.
Bill Hader too?
That movie's another one where boppy teen summer romance. And it's a movie that I agree with you. I think I've seen twice. Could not tell you a single thing about it.
But I remember like, yeah, that was pretty good. The one I actually recommend is the anime Mob Psycho 100. For the reason it has a very similar dynamic in this of like the mentor that's very, you know, quippy and funny. And then the kid who is trying to figure out who he is and deal with his emotions. Much better done in this film. The main character is a lot more compelling. So yeah, if you like that dynamic between Sam Rockwell and Duncan, you want that a lot better, highly recommend Mob Psycho 100. It's a short anime. Absolutely incredible.
Very good anime.
I had to clean out my ears. Did you say Naruto with Jiraiya and Naruto? Jesus
fucking Christ. Get that shit out of here.
I like Naruto.
Ferk, what's your recommendation based on this movie?
I just the first one that came to mind, because I'm like, well, there's a billion coming-of-age tales, so I went with Lady Bird, because that is a coming-of-age tale that's newer, so a little more culturally relevant. I think it's written directed by Greta Gerwig. So there's female voices, and it, like, given, I think it's a little overrated, but that's because I'm just overall not a huge coming of age story fan. So, but it's still, like, probably the best one I've seen, and really fantastic, great acting from all the characters, interesting characters with arcs. Like, it just, it checks all the boxes for a home run type coming of age tale.
Chris, you got anything?
You know, I was actually thinking about it, and yes, I do, but it's not related to the movie at all. It's more so related to Sam Rockwell. And it's just a good old fun watch that I like, and I've seen this movie a couple times, but the movie Mr. Right, if anyone has heard of it, it's stars Sam Rockwell, and then it's also Anna Kendrick as like this adventure action rom-com-y kind of movie. If you really like the one-liners that Sam Rockwell had in this one, definitely recommend it, because it is more constant, and it's just all the time. And basically, the premise of it is Sam Rockwell plays this hitman, but he is a reverse hitman, to where every time someone contacts him to kill someone else, he kills the person who called in
hired him.
For him to who hired him because killing is wrong. So it's very funny. Somehow Anna Kendrick gets in on this, and this love commences, and it's very funny, and they actually work out really, really well together. It's like a weird dynamic that you don't think would work, but highly recommend it. Good laugh, good action, and yeah, overall it's a very good movie.
Cool. You sold me on it. I love Anna Kendrick so much.
I do too.
Definitely agree.
Well, that's our review for The Way, Way Back. Hope you enjoyed it if you watched it. And now let's get into our bonus reviews. This week, I got nothing. I got a big old goose egg. I've been playing way too many video games. Didn't have time for watching anything else. So Chris is making up for me. Chris, you got 3 and Percy got 2. So let's alternate. Chris, start with you.
All right. So first off, I laugh for a certain reason. I'm going to talk about a movie that I feel like has not gotten enough, you know, admiration in this podcast, has not been talked about nearly enough. So I figured I would do my own rendition of the movie Encanto. Now, you see, I don't have a lot to say about it. In fact, when I was listening to both sides, you know, I could agree and disagree with both sides. I'll be honest, Jacob, I was probably more disagreeing with your side on the movie.
God damn it.
I didn't think the movie was bad. Like, it was an enjoyable watch. It just didn't give me enough. I felt like it was a build for the absolute shortest ending and resolve to a problem. And in my honest opinion, you know those, like, Pixar Disney short movies that are, like, 15 minutes long? I feel like if you would have turned Encanto into that short film where you're like, oh, that's cute, it had a lesson at the end, I would have been like, yeah, that works, that's perfect. So that was kind of like my thing. I was like, well, I feel like there's the resolve was very poor and rushed, and for all that build to just get to where we were, I don't know. It made me kind of steer away. I thought the audio and the soundtrack was really good. The music is awesome, but the movie itself and the premise just really didn't hit all the cylinders for me.
Okay. And that, Chris, that's totally valid. I just want to say the fact that you and Perk don't like it as much just tells me you guys had healthy family relationships growing up, and it shows.
I don't know, dude.
Well, just because it's relatable doesn't make it good.
That's true, Perk, but also it makes me cry when I watch this movie.
That's
so
fair.
It ups the points factor.
I don't know. I cried during like movies like Invincible, so I feel like that's not really a good take for me.
Well, and that's not even about the Steelers.
No, it's not.
This is a good movie, though.
It is. It's
Chris,
phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you for giving your 2 cents on the movie that we definitely haven't talked about enough.
Interesting to see what we come up with next week for Encanto.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Keep bringing on people. Perk, what did you watch this week?
Okay, so I'll start off with newly minted Oscar Best Picture nominee, Nightmare Alley, which is a new Guillermo del Toro noir-type film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Bradley Cooper. He's the star, and he starts off like as a carny, and then works his way into a con man, and like the whole noir vibe and everything is cool. The movie's fantastic.
Really,
it's maybe like it's hard to say because Bradley Cooper's great, but it's like amongst the best performances I've seen from him.
Really,
yeah, and everyone in the movie's really good. The whole atmosphere is really creepy and it works super well. And the story is interesting. It's not, so I always like to credit original filmmaking. So like I probably should have given more credit to The Way Way Back, because it's not, I mean, it might be based on a book. I don't know. But Nightmare Alley is based on a book, and it's actually a remake of a movie from the 40s.
Mm.
But like to me, that's new, so I guess, sure. But it's really, really dark. So Guillermo del Toro is notorious for really creepy shit and like some body horror type stuff, and
yep.
This movie doesn't get a pass on that. and just the ending is like sticks with me, disturbing. I knew where it was going. I could see where the trend was going, but it just like I tightened up more and more as I yeah, so definitely would recommend, like, especially since it's on the bill for the Oscars. I think deservedly so. Although I have my opinions about the Oscars and them bastards snubbing the Green Knight.
Is it too scary for me? Because I'm kind of interested, but also I'm a little baby boy, all right? I think this movie's going to freak me the fuck out.
No, it's not a horror movie. Just a creepy movie. So, like, there's a couple jumpy moments, but there's not, like, jump scares or anything.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's not a horror movie. It's a thriller in some ways, but mainly just kind of a character study.
Minus the gore, would it be like similar to the style of like a Saw movie? Kind of ask.
No, just because there's a lot more depth. I mean, like it starts off at a carnival, but that's just really where like the main character gets his start. So like he moves down, like Buffalo, I think is where he ends up, but it's in like 1941, so it's like rip roaring Buffalo Town, and he works his way into like a suave and elegant type of vibe, but it's hard to describe. I can't think of many movies similar. Like if you've seen movies about con men, it's kind of like that. So I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm sure like tip of my tongue, but yeah, it's very creative. It will be unlike anything you've seen in the past 5 years. So,
hell yeah, keep that one in the back pocket, Chris. Back to you.
I think it's on HBO Max too. So, it's out there. Yep.
Easy to watch.
All right. So, I kind of followed a trend of watching movies that disappointed me in the end, like Encanto did. So I had the privilege or I don't know about privilege, but I watched this movie called Something Borrowed. It's on Netflix. Okay. It was a little misleading because it has John Krasinski as the face title screen for the movie. And they did that for an exact reason. I was talking to Jacob a little bit about this because I kind of told him a little bit about it. And he was 100% right. I was like, hey, so they had this. And he goes, you know, that was the time when he was like getting really big. And so they basically just used his face so that way people would watch the movie. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I feel bamboozled because for a guy who was literally the face cover of this movie, he was maybe in it for about 15 minutes. And he didn't even get the resolve that he wanted. All right. I'm talking like, so basically you got this girl, Rachel, and Kate Hudson, which I can't think of her name. I think it was like Paprika or something like that. And get this, first off, it's a rom-com and Kate Hudson isn't the main actress in it. And also, you know, she's not the main actress because Matthew McConaughey is not in this movie. Because they only seem to work together when it's a rom-com. All right? Name a movie that they're both in that isn't a rom-com where they're not the same actors. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you. But basically, Rachel's this successful lawyer, and her best friend, Kate Hudson, is getting married to this guy named Dex. And Dex went to college with Rachel. And basically, Rachel had this big, huge crush on Dex and never told him about it. And apparently, Dex had this big, huge crush on Rachel, but Rachel never gave him the goo-goo eyes, essentially. And so he was like, hey, what do you think of my friend Paprika? And she was like, sure, go for it. And he goes, really? Do you really want me to go for it? You know, like a guy does? And she goes,
yeah. Love to put the blame on the woman there.
Yeah. No. I'm saying it's also the guy's fault because we do not see things or any sign that's in front of us. We're like looking past it. So obviously goes, they're planning a wedding, get engaged. All this thing is happening while they're engaged. Rachel ends up sleeping with Dex in the long run.
Of course.
I'm not going to give away too much, but you can kind of see how the story unfolds, and so they're trying to cover this up. And basically, I just have to say John Krasinski gets screwed because he's like the best friend in the group that doesn't get enough airtime. Mm-hmm. Easily the one of the best actors in the whole movie. And he's like, hey, I know things aren't working out with your Romeo, but I could be your Romeo. And she goes, aw. So anyway, I'm going to go back. And I'm like, what? Like, he's literally like, I love you, Rachel. And she goes, as a friend, me too. And I was like, what? And then you never see him for the rest of the movie. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So as far as rom-coms go, if you want to watch it because you just have nothing else to do, by all means, go for it. But I would probably rate this one pretty low. Don't waste your time. Watch something else with Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey in it. I probably could name like four movies for you, so
there we go. That's Do not watch borrowed. Something Borrowed. Perk, back to you.
Yeah, all right. So for my other one, I just kind of threw TV as one little bundle because I watched a few episodes of a few different shows. So
give it to me.
So I watched, I think I talked to you last week about The After Party on Apple TV Plus. It's coming out weekly, which I didn't know. So I've seen the first three episodes, which were...
those are dropped together, right? Those are dropped first, and then it's weekly after that?
Yeah. First three were together, and then the four... So I've seen four. Okay. The first one is Tim Robinson's buddy. Help me out.
Oh, Sam Richardson.
Thank you, Sam Richardson. Second one is... a comedian who I don't remember his name, but his episode is not as good, but decent. The third episode is Ben Schwartz.
Yep.
And it's a pseudo musical, and he raps, and it's really, Ooh. Really funny. I think he's hilarious. And then the fourth episode is an actress who I'm going to blank on her name, but Hers is like a thriller, like a horror thriller type episode. Mm. So I'm really into this show. I like the way they're kind of mixing it up episode to episode.
Yeah, they change genre.
Per episode, it seems like they kind of shift veins, which I think is cool.
You were thinking of Alana Glazer from Broad City.
Yes, that is correct.
I think I've seen her stand-up. Is this only on Apple TV?
Unfortunately.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
sorry.
I can't watch
that. Right.
And then next up, I watched the first episode. We'll go back for more of Murderville. You heard about this one?
I've heard of it. I've heard it's not get good. So I have not clicked on it yet.
I think it's quite good.
Okay. But I'm glad somebody likes it. I've only heard bad things about it.
Okay. Yeah, I've only seen the one episode. And so, Chris, the premise is that Will Arnett plays Detective Terry Seattle. And he's like a detective, an old grizzled veteran who has a new partner. And for each episode, they just get like a celebrity to play the new partner. And everyone in the show has the cast except the celebrity guest. They just kind of have to like blend in and try and figure it out. And then at the end of the show, they make them try and guess who it is. And the first episode was Conan O'Brien, who is obviously a comedian. So he worked pretty well at the improv bits. And I thought it was really funny. And the second episode is Marshawn Lynch. And I have really high hopes for that one, 'cause I think he's just perfect for this type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, no, like it's the premise on paper sounds amazing, and so I was really excited when it was coming out or right about to come out. But then everyone said like, "Yeah, like it's not as good as you want it to be." But if you like it, then I'm more inclined to give it a watch now.
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
I mean, Conan and like a lot of the guest stars are on there, so
yeah, and it's not gonna blow you out of the park. But like, I really like Will Arnett, so. And he's really funny. He just does like Will Arnett things. It's kind of a little more irreverent on the humor side, I suppose. Okay. But yeah, I'd recommend. I, of course, I've only seen one episode, so I'll have to get back to you. But
okay, I heard Kumail episode's the best one.
Okay, well, I love Kumail, so yeah. I'm sure it will be. And then finally, I started up. It's just a culmination of great things happening for me in the world of TV, because yesterday, new season of Disenchantment dropped, which right. I love. Mm-hmm. Jacob hates because the internet told him to.
The first half of season one? I just could not get into it.
It's definitely slow. Like, it's not a laugh per minute show like you would expect it to be, but I love it. New season just came out. I've watched the first couple episodes. Checks all my boxes so far. But this has come at a beautiful time because it has just been announced that they're making a new season of Futurama.
Oh, really? Oh,
which sweet. Is my entire personality is the show Futurama. That's so great. I'm like this because it's the same creators who made Disenchantment. So just a big week for my TV interests.
I am very happy for you. I will not be joining in the revelry, but I'm happy for you. So that's enough for me.
Fair enough. Let's talk sometime because some of these sound pretty interesting. And the Murderville, that's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Because I've seen that and it looks interesting. So I've kind of been looking for a new show, but also I can't say that out loud because I have to watch 1,000 episodes of One Piece so Jacob doesn't murder me. So.
that is correct. You made a deal with the devil, Chris, is what you did. What's the last thing you want to talk about today, Chris?
All right. So the last thing, I had way too much time on my hands. And when Jacob talked about me coming on, I was like, ooh, I got to get ready. So
I got to prep some stuff to talk about.
I overprepared and I watched Suicide Squad 2. And I will admit I liked it a lot better than the first one. I thought the first one was a very poor attempt at this whole bringing together of like the DC's not popular characters but also like villains at the same time. Like, you knew absolutely nobody other than Harley Quinn was gonna be in this. So I mean, overall I thought it was a really good movie. I was going to say it's really sad that when compared to like Marvel, DC does such a better job with their no-name villain characters than making actual group movies, mm-hmm. other than like the Snyder Cut. That's probably the only redeeming thing that DC has done as far as like a big group of people in movies.
Sure.
I would definitely put Suicide Squad 2 up there, definitely over the original Justice League. But basically, you know, you learn to fall in love with some characters. You know, Harley Quinn's always a classic. And then they throw in my boy Weasel, who's literally just a man who turned into a weasel. He drowns, unfortunately, at the very beginning of the movie. But then you find out in the end credits that he coughs up the water that he was drowning in. And he's alive, and he just runs off into the wilderness. And such a great way to end a movie, and like, such a feel-good thing, because he's free, and no one can hurt him anymore. And that's all I really cared about was Weasel Boy, realistically. But as far as things went, Suicide Squad was much better than the first. I definitely rated a lot higher this go-around. Idris Elba does a phenomenal job as the main character in this. And seeing him put together a team and kind of work together, especially with John Cena. There's this especially good scene where they're trying to infiltrate. It's almost like this camp, and they have like a who can have the better kill off.
Yeah.
And
it's really funny. So
they're just killing people left and right. Idris Elba does this like really dope shout. And then John Cena just is like, you know, he'll shoot behind him. And he's like, whatever, dude, it's not lethal. And he goes, explosive bullets. The dude explodes behind him. And he's like, you don't have to be show off. And he's like, well, I'll show off if it's fucking cool. And he's like, damn, he's right. And that just, you know, I felt like that just set the movie in the tone for me. So from that point on, I was pretty hooked and it was pretty entertaining. So definitely liked Suicide Squad 2 more.
That's one thing that I think DC has too, is that they let their movies be R.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas Marvel PG-13's the heck out of everything. Mm-hmm.
Especially since Disney kind of came on.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with Deadpool. It's going to have to be R.
Yeah. But, yeah. I think they said they're going to keep it R.
At least they're going to be able to make a crap ton more. References, I suppose.
Dude, the fourth wall shit with Deadpool is going to be fucking hilarious now.
I agree with you, Chris. I really liked the new Suicide Squad. Much better.
It's James Gunn. James Gunn just absolutely popping off. And I agree with what you said, Chris. They do not know how to handle their big characters, but they absolutely nail all their smaller characters. Like, the Harley Quinn animated show is fucking incredible. Like, if you guys haven't watched it, I highly, highly recommend it. It is so funny and good. And, like, all their smaller projects are fantastic. But when it comes to the big boys, they choke. They don't know what to do.
Gotta check out the John Cena show.
Peacemaker apparently is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Because if it's allowed to be TV mature, and it's John Cena who's great, and it's a character who's interesting, like, I'm sure it's good.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. I feel like DC in their live action just is not the best, but like their animation and their video games, like they literally do not do wrong when it comes to that stuff. So I don't know why they can't fucking get it right when it comes to an actual production that they probably put millions of dollars into. I don't know if it's the directing or what.
It's because they had the wrong guy at the helm for a long time.
Gosh,
and they also were trying to catch up with the MCU way too fast. They saw what the MCU was doing, like, we gotta do it too, and they just tried to speed run, and it didn't work.
They made their Avengers movie before they had solo movies for most of the cast.
and
that's like, what was that movie before Wonder Woman? Justice League was before Wonder Woman, before Aquaman. There still isn't a Flash movie, and there still isn't a Cyborg movie.
See, but at least Wonder Woman was introduced in Batman versus Superman, which is also a really horrible film. I had to throw that in there. But like, I think that's why Zack Snyder did what he did, because he's like, Jesus, all right, I guess I'll throw in this 15-minute tidbit of the Flash and his background, and then another 15-minute tidbit. I don't think they necessarily need their full-on movies
with how Zack Snyder did it, because I thought, you know, you got enough of the information. I mean, I think you could definitely make a Flash movie, but Cyborg, I feel like there's not really a lot that people know about Cyborg to where, I don't know, maybe I'm just not a big Cyborg fan.
There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you're probably not aware of, Chris, with that. I don't really get into it because it's a lot, but I will say Batman coming out next month looks fucking amazing, and I think it has a potential to be super good. So that's a positive. Negative, they are making a Flash movie, Chris, and I think they're going to try to use it to reset the entire universe with some multiverse bullshit and try start over and try again. So that's probably not going to work, but they're going to try.
Can we start a change.org for a different Flash actor?
I don't know what they're
going to get the guy from the TV show.
That show's still going. It's on season like 8 or 9, and it looks so bad now.
Yeah, I actually I think what happened is we just realized, because like I loved Arrow back.
We all loved Arrow back in the day. Yeah. Went on for fucking forever.
And then Arrow went on for a billion years, and then when they lost me was when they started doing crossover episodes with The Flash, and now they're doing other crossovers with other shows. The Flash is still on. Like, it's been what? It has to have been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at some point, they just devolved, and it's like, oh, right, this is a CW show. Now it's just a CW show.
We forgot we've been on CW this entire time.
Yeah, we should have known.
Yeah, I hope they figure it out. I think if the Batman movie it does well, that'd be a good first step. Because like, they brought on a fantastic director. They got good talent. They let him just like do what they want to do. I think they're probably trying to just like steer the wheel too much with Justice League and all that other stuff. Of like I said, trying to make their own Avengers.
But last thing is, you gotta keep Gal Gadot and Henry Cavill, because they're too good at those roles to not maintain that if you're gonna do Justice League.
I think she's still in, but I think he's out. I think he like not officially confirmed, but he's not really playing Superman anymore. So
I'll pay him the rest of my earnings if he stays.
The first Superman movie came out in what, like 2009? Like, he's also been in this for a long time.
Yeah, Man of Steel, not a bad movie, I will say. Man of Steel's not that bad.
Oh, I love Man of Steel.
I don't know if I ever saw it.
It's very good.
It's worth watching. But yeah, that was our our DC rant section of the podcast. Yeah. David, when Batman comes back, we're going to be talking about that shit on Bonus Review, so look forward to that. But
damn right.
Yeah, that is our show for this week. Perk, why don't you tell them what we're watching next week?
Yeah, so we had a few options here, but I decided to pull the trigger. Sorry to the viewers at home. This is a paid movie. You got to rent it if you want to watch it. It's called Seven Psychopaths. The connection is Sam Rockwell. And it's directed by one of my favorite directors, Martin McDonagh. And I like Colin Farrell. Yeah, he's the star, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. And it is a really crazy movie that is very unlike any movie you've ever seen, and it's a few scenes are not for the faint of heart. So yeah, if you're averse to blood, not the movie for you. Jacob, I hope you're not averse to blood.
I'll push through for you, Perk.
Yeah, I mean, you can also, you're allowed to hate this movie next week.
I'm excited. I'm excited. I mean, like you said,
I'm curious. I want to rewatch. It's been a long time.
My buddy Joseph, this is one of his favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah. So you said director is great and cast is great. I'm looking forward to it. But like you said, this is a rent only, so it'd be like $4 to rent it. So apologies. We try to do mostly streaming, but sometimes we gotta crack open the bank and watch something else.
Also, this gives us a ton of branches we could go down, whereas other options would have kind of led towards dead ends.
For sure. So yeah, next week, Seven Psychopaths to rent. But until next time, thank you all for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.